moon when midnight fell. Your suffering cleared my name, and that sin-swept hill became an open door to paradise, because you pay much too high a price. You paid much too high a price for me. Your tears, your blood, your pain, to have my soul just stirred at times, yet never truly changed. You deserve a fiery love that won't ignore your sacrifice, because you inspires my heart to rise above the world and all the earthly vanity that seeks to lure me in. I want to tell this soul, a love that paid so high a price. You paid much too high a price for me. Your tears, your blood, your pain, to have my soul stirred at times, yet never really changed. You deserve a fiery love that won't ignore your sacrifice, because you paid much too
Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. Thank you, Miss Kemp, for that wonderful song. And may we never forget that though salvation is free, it's not cheap. He paid the unbelievable price of giving His own Son for us. I am encouraged by your being here today. Thank you so much. You see, after preaching for 43 years, I know that it doesn't take much to discourage some Baptists from coming. And we've had a lot of hype about the weather this morning. And as someone said, the weather didn't live up to the hype yet. It doesn't take flooding, just someone to say it's going to flood. doesn't take snow and ice to keep people home, just someone saying that it's going to. And most will use that as their reason not to come. But not so with you, and you have encouraged your preacher. Thank you very, very much. If you found your place in Galatians 3, stand with me and we shall begin to read in verse number 10 and read through verse 13. The Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree," or on a tree. I want you to look at verse number 13 for our message this morning. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the curse of the law and redemption. The curse of the law and redemption. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and dying for us on that old rugged cross. Sin had placed a debt on us that we could not pay except to spend eternity in hell forever and forever. Thank you for paying our sin debt. Thank you for dying on that old rugged cross. Thank you for redeeming us, buying us back from the condemnation of our sin. Now, Lord, we love you today as your children. And it may be that there is someone here who is not saved this morning. Let this be that wonderful day when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, there are some here that have been saved and need to be baptized. There'll never be a better day for them to be obedient to the Savior than this morning. Help them to come and follow you in believer's baptism. And then, Father, we're asking you to save every unsaved person on this property today. In Jesus' name, now I need your help. Fill me with thy Spirit. Help me to speak clearly and plainly thy word, and may we go home rejoicing in the truth that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are only two theological positions in all of religion when it comes to the salvation of lost sinners. The one is that salvation is by works and keeping the law. The other is that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now I want you to know, I believe that the Bible position is salvation by grace through faith because Jesus plainly stated that it was. It's not my opinion. I believe it because God said so. He said it plainly. He said it over and over again, and He lets us know that we're not saved by keeping the law, but by the law is the knowledge of our sin. So in verse number 10, we're told that those who believe that salvation comes by works and keeping the law, that they're under the curse of the law. Look at verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. A person that's trying to get to heaven by way of the law and good works is under the curse of the law. That means he's going to have to pay the penalty of his sin himself in hell, separated from God in torments, in the flames, and it shall be forever and forever. He has chosen the way that seemed right to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. The end of is hell. He's going to have to pay the penalty of the curse of the law. And if a person could be saved by the law, one would not ever be able to break one law. He'd have to keep the whole law all the days of his life. He could never break one. Well, we know that's impossible, for the Bible hath concluded all under sin. We're all sinners. There's none that sinneth not, the Scripture tells us. There's not one person who has ever lived other than Jesus Christ who can claim that they never broke one law. Jesus fulfilled the law and yet took the curse of the law upon Him for us and died in our place that we might have life everlasting. Furthermore, if it were possible to keep the law to be saved, then that person would have to continue to keep the law the rest of his life to stay saved. If you ever blew it one time, even just a little, you don't break the law just a little. To break the law just a little is to be a lawbreaker. I just killed a person a little. I just robbed the bank a little. I'm just a little thief. A little. No, you're a thief. You're a lawbreaker. And a lawbreaker is under the penalty and the curse of the law. Verse 11 tells us plainly that no one is saved by the works of the law, but by faith. By faith. And the Bible says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In verse number 11, he says, the just, the saved, shall live by faith. Our life as Christians begin by faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it continues on in trusting and believing. It's never works. Now, a Christian is to work, but not to get to heaven, but because we're going to heaven. Not in order to be saved, but because we have been saved. We have a God to serve. And works is a means of showing our love and our service, our devotion to our Savior who loved us and died for us. Salvation by the works of the law means that man must do those works and keep the law. This is an impossibility. An impossibility. Not one person can say, I have never broken a law. For we're all sinners. We were brought into this world with a sin nature, and the day we got old enough to make our own choices, our sin nature resulted in us making wrong choices, doing sin. So we're a sinner by birth and a sinner by choice. How many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? Just one. Just one. And then we're under the curse of the law. We're under the curse of the law. The wages of sin is death. It didn't say the wages of all of your sins put together. No, the wages of sin. Tell me what sin you can commit and not be a sinner. Tell me what sin you can commit and not be under the wages of sin. That's the reason Jesus came. Every one of us is under the curse of the law. We're under the wages of sin because we are sinners. Sinners. And by the way, anyone that knows anything about the Bible knows that God never gave the law with the intention of the law saving anybody. The Bible says in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. You compare yourself to the law of God, and you don't stand up and do Tarzan yells and beat your chest because you're great and holy. No, you compare yourself to the law of God, and you want to find something to crawl under because it condemns us. We see ourselves as sinners, and God sees us as sinners. That's the reason Jesus came. That's the reason Jesus died. That's the reason He provided salvation by grace through faith. And God even gives us the faith with which to believe. Salvation by faith means that we believe that Jesus fulfilled the law for us and that He suffered the wages of our sin on the cross so that sinners could be saved by simply trusting Jesus as Savior. Believing upon Him. And my message is very simple this morning, taken from verse number 13. I'm not like Brother Todd. Brother Todd called me this morning and said, "Now, preacher, if we only have two or three in my class, can I bring them down to your class? Because I don't want to waste my lesson." I prepared this sermon for a church house full, but if there's only two or three, I'm going to preach it because it's God's Word. I'm sorry, Brother Todd, that was so funny I couldn't pass it up. Four thoughts this morning in our message. First of all, a tragic reality that all of mankind must face. A tragic reality that all of mankind must face. Verse 13, the curse of the law. The curse of the law. The curse of the law is the reality of sin in us. And that we are sinners. You look at the Word of God and the law does not lift us up. It does not strengthen us. It points out our failures, our sin. It declares that we're sinners and we're under the curse of the law. That's what I just quoted in Romans 3:20. The curse of the law is that the law requires complete fulfillment. We don't get to go and pick and choose and say, "I'm going to keep this law and this law and this law and go to heaven and ignore the rest of them." No, the curse of the law is you've got to keep them all or you're hopeless. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. Just read the Ten Commandments. That's part of the law of God. That doesn't include all of the law of God. It is the Ten Commandments. Just read them. When you get through reading them, you'll duck your head and say, "Sinner, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." Galatians 3:10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law and to do them." Good night. In order for us to get to heaven, if salvation was by the law, then I would have to fulfill every command and every statement of God in this book. Or I couldn't be saved. Oh, I'm so glad that salvation is not by the law. I'm so thankful that God looked down in love and grace and mercy, and instead of raking off a world of sinners into hell, said, "No, I'm going to provide a way where every one of you can be saved, and I'm going to pay the price myself." It's going to be a gift from God to us by love and by grace. The curse of the law is death and hell for eternity. That's what Romans 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death. There's two kinds of death in the Bible. There's physical death. That's when the body dies and the soul and spirit depart the body and either goes to heaven or hell. If that person has not been saved before he dies, then his soul and spirit depart immediately to that place called hell. And when Jesus comes back and we stand at the great white throne judgment, all of those in hell will be called out and stand before God at the great white throne and judged, and then hell and death and all of those in hell will be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. This is the second death, the Bible says. So the wages of sin involve two kinds of death, physical death. If there was no sin, we'd never die. If there was no sin, we wouldn't even grow older. But because of sin, we're in a state of growing older and coming closer and closer to death. But I want you to know, not just physical death is the wages of sin. The second death is also part of the wages of sin. Eternity in hell. And the tragic reality that every person here must face is the curse of the law. We're under that curse. We're under the penalty of death and hell. And our only escape, our only hope, is Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Secondly, I want you to notice a wonderful truth that can benefit every sinner. A wonderful truth that can benefit every sinner. Verse 13, for Christ hath redeemed us. Christ hath redeemed us. That word redeem means to pay the price that I owe. He paid my price. He paid the curse of the law and the wages of sin for me. It simply means that Christ paid the debt of sin that we as sinners owe to a holy God. He became redemption's price. He suffered and died for us that we might have that opportunity to be saved and live with Him forever. One man's sin made all of mankind to be sinners. And one man's death has purchased salvation for all who will accept Christ as Savior. Listen to these verses, Romans 5:12. Therefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. That word all means you and me. All of us, everybody in here, everybody in the world, everybody who's ever been born of man and woman, are under that curse of sin. By one man, we all became sinners. But look at Romans chapter 5, verse 15, just three verses further. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, that's all of us, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. I'm here to tell you there is a wonderful truth that can benefit every sinner today. Christ has redeemed us. And the truth is, He's already paid the price. He's already purchased our salvation. It's been available for us as long as we've been old enough to understand right from wrong. But it'll never be yours until you personally and individually accept it by faith. You say, preacher, I don't know how to be saved. Well, you don't have to know how. You come this morning at invitation time, we'll show you how. And if you'll call upon Him, He'll save you. He said, all who come unto Him, He'll not cast one out. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, wonderful truth that can benefit every sinner. Christ hath redeemed us. You're here this morning and you're lost. I want you to know Christ has already purchased your salvation. He's already paid the price. What a tragedy for you to live your life and ignore the price that purchased salvation for you. You never accepted Him. Never accepted that gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But let me move on to the third thing. A glorious fact about Christ's suffering. The Bible says, being made a curse for us. For us. It's for us. The Lord Jesus did not just pay for our sin. He literally became sin for us, being made a curse. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to become sin for us, who knew no sin," that's Jesus, "that we," that's sinners, "might be made the righteousness of God in him." When God judged Jesus for our sins on the cross, God had imputed all the sin of all the world onto Christ. And that day God poured out his holy wrath against all of man's sin. And he poured it out on Jesus. And Jesus suffered as a world of sinners, and he for eternity would suffer to purchase our salvation. He satisfied the wrath of a holy God against sin when he endured Calvary's cross for us. He was made a curse for us. Oh my. God was literally judging Jesus as he had judged all the sinners in hell. He judged him. He abandoned him like he would abandon a sinner in hell in order that he might suffer the entirety of God's wrath against our sin. There on the cross, he paid the complete price so that sinners could be forgiven and saved. When God made his holy Son to be a curse for us, he was telling every lost sinner everywhere that he had not given up on us. God was saying, "Yes, you sinned. Yes, you've blown it. Yes, you're under the curse. But I've not given up on you. I'm going to make a way where sinners can be saved." And making that way required God to take the curse of the law against our sin and put it on Jesus and make him to become the curse that we were. Day on Calvary, he made a way of salvation for us if we'd accept him. Lost sinners are not hopelessly lost if they'll only turn to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior. They can be entirely saved, not hopelessly lost. Hey, that's where we come from. When we get saved, we're hopelessly lost because there's not one chance of us attaining salvation on our own works or on our own merits. But our hopelessness became God's opportunity to provide something complete, finished, forever for us. And that's what he did. We were hopeless sinners, and we are gloriously, marvelously, completely saved forever in Jesus Christ. And that's good. That excites me. You know why it excites me? Because I was one of those under the curse. I was on my way to hell. I was hopelessly lost. And here the sinless, holy Son of God comes down and is made a curse for me. Whew. Because he was made a curse for us, we can be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Just as God took all our sins and put on Christ, when we accept him as Savior, he'll take all of the righteousness of Christ and put on us. And our standing before God, even though we were hell-deserving sinners in Christ, our standing before God is perfect, complete. From the day we get saved, God looks at us as glorified, justified, redeemed. He looks at us and He doesn't see all of our sin and all of our rottenness. He looks at us and sees Jesus and His shed blood and His righteousness all over us. Oh, what a glorious gift God has given us, being made a curse for us. And then fourthly, a life-changing awakening for all who are lost. A life-changing awakening for all who are lost. Christ was made a curse for us. For us. Christ hath redeemed us. Not angels. Not cherubims or seraphims, but us. Us. Why did God make Christ to become a curse? For us. For us. Oh, dear lost soul, get a hold of this truth. God did not allow Jesus to die on that cruel cross just to conquer sin. He did it for us! He did not suffer and die to defeat Satan. He did it for us! God did not send His only begotten Son to deprive hell of another victim. He did it for us! Oh, blessed truth! Christ hath redeemed us! He paid the price for our sin and hell with His own sinless body and His own precious blood. He paid hell's price to redeem us. He bought us back from the wages of our sin. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and He died for us. He hath redeemed us. Well, Isaiah 44:22, God looking at the suffering and the sacrificing of Christ for sinners said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 43:25 says, God said, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Oh, in Christ's redemption for us, if we only will accept Him, He has blotted out our sins with His own hand, with His own blood, from His own book, and from His own mind. He died for His own sake, and He did it for us. When He said, I did it for my own sake, He was saying, you didn't have any merit. You didn't have any goodness about you to move me to die for you. So I did it for my sake. I did it on the basis of my Son's merit. Jesus Christ. Blessed truth. Christ was made a curse for us. For us. He hath redeemed not them. Not those. Us! Us. He's redeemed us. What does God ask of us? He asks us simply to trust Him as our Savior. Simply to believe that He died for us and He hath redeemed us. And He even gives us the faith with which we're to believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The faith is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, not of the law. Not on our merit, or we'd boast about it. We're His workmanship. He asks us to simply trust Him as our Savior. Have you? Have you settled the matter that Jesus Christ, God's Son, who was made a curse for you and died to redeem you, have you settled the fact that He is your Savior? The tragedy of tragedies will be to stand before God one day and realize Jesus did it for you and you never trusted Him. You never accepted Him. You never received that gift of grace and love when we accept Him. Then may I say to you, God not only asks us to trust Him as Savior, He asks us to identify with Him. He asks us to identify with Him. How do we do that? By believer's baptism. The Bible method of identifying with Jesus Christ after we're saved is to go into those baptismal waters. And when we're put under the water, it's a testimony that all of our sins were placed upon Christ when He became a curse for us and God judged our sins in Jesus. And that we're dead to our sins. They're paid for. When we're brought up out of the water, it's a testimony that just as Jesus died for our sins and was buried, He arose again with new life. We have new life in Jesus Christ. Now that don't get you to heaven. Being baptized does not get you to heaven. It's not the second step of salvation. We get saved, that's complete in Christ Jesus when we accept Him. But if we love Him, if we accept Him, we ought to love Him and we ought to want to identify with Him. We ought to gladly go into that water like the Bible teaches. Well, the Bible says, they that gladly received Him, the same day they were baptized were added to the church. Then we who are saved, God asks us to serve Him with our life for His glory and for our good. God asks us to serve Him. He didn't save you just to get you to heaven. He didn't save you just so you could walk through heaven and shout, God saved you for His glory. And until we get to heaven, God wants us to serve Him for His glory. Are you? And God wants us to live with Him in heaven for eternity. That's why He has made a curse for us. That's why He redeemed us. Now, most people I meet want to live with Him in heaven just so they can escape hell. I don't want to go to hell. And thank God I don't have to. But I'm here to tell you that being a Christian is more than escaping hell. See, being a Christian means I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to rejoice. There's some things I can rejoice about here. There's a life worth living here in Christ. Plus, I have that future in heaven to look forward to. Most people just want to live with Him in heaven so they can escape hell. They want to bypass the rest of it. And just go to heaven. They want to live like the devil's crowd here and go to heaven. Well, I want you to know you can't get to heaven and bypass a new birth. You can't get to heaven and ignore getting saved. Just can't do it. Once you've experienced that new birth, it is unnatural not to love the one who gave you life. You know, it's an unnatural thing for a boy or girl not to love mom and daddy. They may not know much about them. They may not be the best mom and daddy. But there's something in their heart because they gave them life. They love mom and daddy. And you tell me when you have new life, complete life, divine life in Christ Jesus. If He lives in you, how can you not love the one who gave you eternal life? Yes, He wants us to go to heaven, but He doesn't want us to use salvation as just an escape from hell and bypass all the rest. He wants us to be identified with Him. He wants us to live for Him and serve Him. He wants us to love Him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. Do you? Do you? Say, where do I begin? You begin by making sure you're saved. If you've never been saved, then you need to come today and trust Him. You need to settle that matter forever. You can't skip that and go to heaven. In baseball, you skip first base, you're out. You skip salvation, you're out when it comes to heaven. You must trust Jesus. You must trust Jesus. Come to Him. He'll save you. He'll give you new life. He'll give you life worth living. He'll give you heaven to look forward to. I get to go to heaven, but I get to love Him and serve Him and tell people about Him while I'm here. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Father, that's our message, just so simple, so plain.